Then, of course, you have your love for OU.
Yeah,
because of that professor.
That professor, that wonderful professor, yeah.
Who gave you a B.
he said, Chuck, I've been meaning to tell you, I made a B and sent the damn thing back in.
That's one of those, and then one day happened to you, which changed the course of your life, as a matter of fact.
It did.
You were back going to OU in the Bud Wilkinson day.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Wilkinson, I don't know if you ever saw him. Some memories that you would have of that era when he went for 47 games without a loss.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone has alluded onto what a wonderful gentleman he was. He epitomized what most of us thought the real man of the world was. I think the thing that I always have remembered, this was right after the war. We'd had one coach there, his name was Jim Tatum, and he had gone, and they were going to promote Bud Wilkinson, his assistant. But now John, they were going to pay him $15,000 a year. And the state of Oklahoma went berserk. That's more than the president of the university gets. This was just a short lifetime ago. He was going to get $15,000 a year. You cannot imagine the chaos. Well, he, in my opinion, earned it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What do they get now? I think Bob Stoops down there at OU gets up in the millions.
$3-4 million.
But he's not necessarily the highest paid. They're all like that.
Right.
Gosh, isn't it something? That's one of the things I remember about Bud. And then, of course, he'd walk around the campus. You could walk up to Mr. Wilkinson and say, "How do you do, sir?" This kind of thing. And he's very gracious, very much a gentleman, very nice guy.
You had tickets on the 50-yard line, did you?
No, the students were over in the section, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have great memories of attending those games.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I tell you what I love, and you don't get it on television. I love to hear the band play at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like it all, but I like that too, for sure.
Because of your love then for OU, you took this talent you have for drawing, and you drew some of those famous buildings, of course, on the campus of Oklahoma University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them.
Tell us what drew you to that and which building you may have drawn first.
Building I drew first?
Well, you put them all in the calendar for 2002.
Yeah.
Adams Hall and Boyd House and all of them.
I think it was this one right here, Adams Hall, right down there.
And you know what?
I think.
That's the first one of January 2002 is Adams Hall.
Maybe so that's true. I don't remember it if that's the case.
So your work came to their attention because they clearly appreciated what you did. President David Boren, I believe, has a couple on his wall in his office, as a matter of fact, of these great old buildings.
Yeah, he does. It's very nice.
So who publishes?
The university publishes that each year.
This calendar?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, every year they put this out?
Not this one. It's a different
one. Oh, it's a different calendar. But
that was their 2002 calendar.
So what a great honor to have all your work.
Yeah, I like it. I'm very pleased, yeah.
For a struggling...
Very proud.
For a struggling architect.
For
student,
a guy with a number two pencil, yeah.
Yeah. Then also you became so taken with football that you put out this fearsome forecaster. Tell us about that. What was it?
Every year I used to put out the fearsome football forecast. I'd got a drawing and then the roster and my prognostication and all kinds of miscellaneous screwy stuff. But it was limited to 200 people. It went from San Diego to Bangor, Maine. I'm just being silly, but mm-hmm. People like it.
Mm-hmm. What was your record of prognostication?
I was always undefeated, John.
Is that true?
I never lost a game.
And then you took this fine art into card making as well.
Yeah.
So you have sent out Christmas cards with your drawings for how many years?
73, maybe.
Wow. And have they all been of cathedrals?
Yeah. Well, of course, there's Florence. There's Chartres. There's Salisbury. There's the thing over there. Maybe you can see it with the minarets. Sent as a Christmas card. That was originally a Christian cathedral.
Oh.
But when the Turks took over Constantinople, they, of course, made it into a mosque with the minarets. And then that one below it was a cathedral in Normandy that was destroyed in World War II. Everybody goes to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and they don't get to know what a wonderful cathedral is there. And then Westminster Abbey, just things like that. That blue thing there is St. Mark's in Venice. Just things that I think are significant.
Well, these Christmas cards have become collector's items.
Yeah.
People would...
For a month.
Hold them. No. For years and years and years. And people look forward to them.
Well, maybe.
Here we are in 2012. You're 88 years old. Are you still doing any drawing today?
Well,
pencil drawing.
The Christmas card today, this time, yeah.
What is it?
It is a little bit different. There is a huge cathedral in Seville, Spain. It's not architecturally very significant, but the surroundings are spectacular. So I've drawn the drawing of the gardens around the Cathedral of Seville. I'll send you one. You and Margaret? Sure, if you'd like.
I would love that. Because you're an architect, and then you see all these great cathedrals that go back to...
1100.
And you just have to marvel. Today we have all these pieces of equipment to build large buildings, and to think of how those were built.
Oh, no. Unbelievable. Yeah. You've sensed the same thing I did. For example, at Cathedral Chartres, built in the 1100s, and you see the stonework, perfectly carved stonework, did it with bronze chisels and things like that. How'd they do it? Is it inspired by something beyond us? Is it? I don't know.
You'd have to wonder.
Yeah, I do. I wonder. Yeah. I sure do.